is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It's wonderful to be with you again as we worship and honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have some wonderful music for you. I call it beautiful music, special music. And the name of the group, it's a Southern Gospel Quartet, is called Greater Vision. The name of the song is He Is Mine. But before we have Greater Vision come to sing their song, He Is Mine, I would just like to pass on this bit of news to you. We continue to work very hard here at Bible Home Church, doing the Lord's business. We wanted to thank you who have given so generously to our work. We're able to do the things, I think, that the Lord would like us to do. Of course, as much as you contribute and give with your love gifts, we'll do more. But we're out of a debt, which is a wonderful thing for any church. You see, we don't believe that God's people should go in debt in terms of church. Hey, we have enough debt with home mortgages and notes on automobiles and all of those things, don't we? And so we just don't believe, and that means your pastor of Bible Home Church, Tex Mars, just doesn't believe that it's right for God's people to go into hock, to go into debt. There are many, many expenses. Sometimes it just amazes me. Everything costs more than you think it does in church work nowadays. But nevertheless, we're glad to do it. And, you know, we're not here to make a profit. So as long as we can break even, that's what we want to do. But we're not going to go into debt. I don't think it's honoring to God. You know, a few years back, I had a pastor friend of mine, and he was talking to me about the tremendous debt that his church had. He constantly had to meet with bankers and beg the world so that God's church could keep in operation. Folks, that's not the way it should be. You see, I like what another friend of mine did out in California. He founded a church. He called it Park Baptist Church. Well, it sounds big, Park Baptist Church. It sounds like a fancy church out in California. But he calls it Park Baptist Church because they actually meet out in the park. They have an open-air church every Sunday there in the park. And, well, you know, his bills aren't that much. He doesn't have a lot of utility bills. For one thing, there's no janitor that has to go out and, you know, clean the trees down and vacuum the grass. So I guess they probably do have to clean their benches, the picnic benches or whatever they have. But I always laugh about my good friend who tells me about his Park Baptist Church. You know, we love to hear from our friends. Some of you have written to us, and just to let us know that you're praying for us. You say, well, Tex Mars doesn't care about me. He's got a big ministry. He's known around the world. You don't believe that. I have some measure of notoriety around the world, but not all of it is favorable, because, listen, anytime you do something positive for Jesus Christ, you're going to get great criticism. And we have a lot of them out there. I have threats constantly from the homosexual community, I'm not going to complain about that. But I just want you to know we have opposition because we take a stand. Now, I think a pastor in a church that does not take a stand in today's perilous world, a sinful, debauched, immoral, depraved world, if a pastor doesn't take a stand, well, I think that pastor is as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, he's just a nuisance. He's really doing nothing at all. He ought to go ahead and resign. I have told pastors that. Why don't you just quit? You're not a pastor. Quit. Get out. Get out. It's just a business for you. Get out and go do something else. You know, become a plumber, a carpenter, a lawyer, anything. Get out. You shouldn't be a pastor. I remember up in Seattle on a television show there on, I think it was King TV, K-I-N-G TV, one of the largest network affiliates. I was on a talk show there, and they had a pastor, a Methodist pastor, and he got up talking about he didn't see any problem with homosexuality. He didn't see anything wrong with New Age practices, you know, spirit channeling, so-called communication with the dead, pyramid powers, the belief by Shirley MacLaine and others that they are gods. He didn't see anything wrong with that. And he said he was opposed to fundamentalists who believed in a literal interpretation of the Bible. Well, the talk show host came back and put the microphone in front of my face and said, well, what do you say to that, Tex Mars? And I pointed my finger at that pastor and I said, I think this man needs to resign. He needs to quit. He's not a pastor. He can call himself anything he wants to. He's not a pastor. He ought to be ashamed of himself. You see, my friends, if you're not going to stand up for Jesus and his word, don't pretend you're a pastor of the living God. I think judgment is going to hit these men who do not protect their flocks, who stand for sin and debauchery rather than righteousness. And God's going to have a lot to say about such men and women in the last days. Well, in any case, that's one thing you know when you give your love gift to this church, Bible Home Church. You know we're going to take a stand, even if it hurts. And it does, it bites sometime. But after all, you know, look what our Lord gave up for us. He suffered on the cross. I cannot complain then, can you? This is our acceptable service to the Lord Jesus. No complaints here. I'm happy to do it. In fact, I wish the Lord would give me more opportunity. Maybe the Lord can send me more hardship in my life. You see, I always get a blessing when men persecute me. A lot of people don't know that. But folks here at Bible Home Church, they know. When I get mean, nasty letters into the ministry, you think I sit there and wrinkle my face and say, woe is me? I start laughing and praising God. Isn't that true? People don't know that. They say, oh boy, Tex Mars must have it hard. He gets mean, cruel letters from people who hate God. It must really be tough being in his position. Well, no, it's not. I read those letters and I say, well, thank Jesus. Praise God. Here's another, some more hate mail coming in. Well, praise God. I always say, if I can't save a man, at least if I can just make him angry, if I can make him mad at me, I'm about halfway there. You see, sometimes you get mad before Jesus and the Holy Spirit move in and fix you up. Did you know that? A lot of people are in denial. At first, they deny that they're even a sinner, and they want to argue with you. And they get mad and angry at you. But then the Holy Spirit comes along and convicts them. Oh, I think being mad, being angry at the pastor is a good thing for sinners. So I try to make as many as angry as I can. And you'd be surprised how many. I'll never forget, I was on a radio talk show, and I told a woman, you know, she needed to get right with the Lord. And she was one of the big executives, actually, of a big old drug rehab clinic, drug and alcohol rehab. And they came to the show to brag about all the great work they were doing. But when I asked her what she was doing for Jesus, she began to stumble. I said, well, aren't you a Christian rehab, alcohol and drug rehab center? Well, yes. And you're going on radio shows across America, Christian radio shows, recruiting Christians to use your facilities because you say we're a Christian-oriented drug rehab center. And I don't mind telling the name of it. The name was Rafa. Rafa. They've been pushed big by many Southern Baptists and others. And I said, do you pray with your patients? Well, no. Do you go to the Bible with them? Do you happen to know Jesus Christ if they're not saved? Well, no, but we have the best psychiatrists and psychologists in the country. I said, you're just a bunch of heathen. You're not a Christian rehab center. You know, I almost told them, hey, you're wasting my time. You know, what are you here for? You just want to make money. No, no, no. You see, what good does it do to help a drunk get off alcohol? They'll just go out and get on drugs, or worse. And if you get them off of marijuana, they'll go to heroin, they'll go to cocaine. But if you give them Jesus, oh, now Jesus will clean them up of everything. It doesn't help to fight drug substances and alcohol without turning a person toward Jesus. Well, the woman couldn't understand that. She thought I was just a big meanie. She thought I was a very cruel person. You know, exactly 1 year later, she wrote me a letter and she said, I want to apologize to you. She said, I left that radio studio so angry at you. I said, what a horrible person to have a radio show that Tex Mars is. He just doesn't understand all the good we're doing with our psychiatry and psychology. She said, but you know, the Holy Ghost just convicted me, and over the next year I began to look and I said, we're not doing anything at all. And many of these people just keep coming back over and over and over. They keep relapsing. Most of all, we're not doing anything for God. And it totally changed her life when she realized that. Well, she quit Rafa. But in her letter to me, she said, thank God for your radio show, or I would have never changed my life. She told me she was the one who needed the changing, her life. She needed to get right with God before she could help alcohol and drug addicts. Well, I really appreciated that letter, and I get a lot of letters like that from people who, at first, boy, they just hate me. But then they say, you know, Tex Mars tells the truth, even if it hurts. And he really does love. He loves people. I think that's why Christians are the way they are. You know, a lot of people thought Jesus must have been a really cruel person, overthrow the tables of the money changers. Then he told those Pharisees, you know, you're of your father the devil. And look what John the Baptist. Remember those hypocrites that came forward to be baptized? They just wanted to be seen and be baptized. It would be a feather in their cap to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist looked at them and said to them, ye hypocrites, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He knew what was in their hearts. I believe that was by revelation of God. Some people said, well, that was cruel of him. We as pastors should invite people into our churches and love them. And even if they're homosexuals or abortionists, we should not say anything to hurt their feelings. And, you know, this touchy, feel-good religion. Well, that's not the way Jesus told us to do it. He told us to tell the truth. Now, I am as sensitive and loving, as kind as I can be, but sometimes it takes a little tough love. I always laugh when people come up to me at conferences and churches and say, you know, you're a lot nicer in person than in your newsletter or on the radio. Well, it sort of makes me feel bad, too, because I want to be nice all the time. But, you know, sometimes, my friends, you just got to tell the truth and sort of let the chips fall where they may be. But in any case, listen, we're going to go into that music now because I want to go on to part two of A Fragile Bird He Will Not Crush. That's the series we're on now. So first we're going to have a greater vision to sing He Is Mine. He is mine. And then we'll go right into that. After the music, we'll have part two of A Fragile Bird He, God, Will Not Crush.
Long before the fall of man, God designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He is mine, he mercy and His grace. He's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there. We will praise the perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of heaven.
Know this, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm feeling so hurt. I'm so fragile. I'm so crushed. Don't you think God knows that? And He's already ordered the steps by which you can heal and get better. You see, God makes up the calendar for your life. You probably don't know that. You think every day you get up and decide what you're going to do that day. Uh-uh. James says in the Bible, he said, you know, don't say to yourself, tomorrow I will go to a certain town and do a certain thing. He said, it's better to say, if it's God's will, I will do this or that. So many of us make our minds up and we have goals, and every New Year's Day we make New Year's resolutions and we just say we're going to do this and we're going to will it into existence. Let me tell you right now, my friends, not one thing you can do in your life that God hadn't already planned for you. What you need to do is don't set your own plans, but get in step with God's plan for your life. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see that? He's already got the good works, the good deeds, the things that you're to do all set for you. All you have to do is just walk in them. He's already ordained them beforehand. You're going to meet people every day, meet things. Obstacles will come in your way, absolutely. Fences you've got to jump over, hurdles you've got to cross, rivers you've got to swim over. Oh, you say, I don't think I can make it today. Oh, yes, you can, because God has already prepared good works for you to do that day, and all you have to do is just go out and do them. I like what David said in Psalm 119, verse 45. He says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Friends, He's got steps for you, and know the kind of character He had, the kind of works He did, and you go do them. Follow His steps. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow Me. I tell you, a lot of people, they throw down the cross, and then they go down on these little alleyways and passageways and detours, and they get off into hell knows where because they're not on the road map of God's planning for them. Psalm 37 verses 23 through 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You say, well, Tex Mars, I've tried to be a good Christian. I've tried to walk a certain path, but I keep falling. I keep messing up, and then things just happen to me. I can't seem to get ahead. Bad things occur. Hold it. It says here, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Friends, when you're down in the valley, what else can you do but look up? And when you're in that valley of despair, don't look down. There's nothing down there. There's just the pit. Start looking up and walk out of the valley. And you'll find somebody's walking right beside you all the time. Well, number four, the fourth step. Things bad happening in your life, what are you going to do about it? Call a counselor. You've already got one. His name is Jesus. I'll tell you what you should do. At that moment, start confessing Jesus as your Lord. Say, well, Tex, what can that do? Well, you see, let me tell you, a lot of people get fearful, get scared when bad things happen in their life. They feel the whole world is just falling down on their, just like stones just being heaped or hot coals being heaped on their head. A man wrote to me recently, and he had actually some police authorities that were harassing him for something he really didn't do. He said, what am I going to do, Tex? I said, well, one thing you can do is start confessing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He said, what would that do? That can't stop the police and harassing and intimidating me. I said, sure it can. He said, well, what if I'm arrested? I said, well, so what? Confess Jesus as Lord anyway. You know, my friends, a lot of people don't understand that God is like a gardener. Sometimes things happen. We think they're bad, but they happen for our own good. Sometimes it's bad. It's better to lose things. You say, what are you talking about? I've known people that lost their whole fortunes. Stock market collapses and crashes. Recessions. People have lost someone that they loved. A wife did them wrong and went and ran off with another man or another a husband with another woman. They thought they've lost everything. You know, sometimes I'm just going to tell you the truth. God is like a great gardener. And sometimes you need a little pruning. And God prunes things. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But, you know, the Bible says that you are to confess Jesus. Remember the Philippians jailer? He asked what he could do to be saved. And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household, confess Jesus as Lord. This is a real key for you. Now, number five step to take when bad things happen in your life, and this is going to seem strange because this is contrary to what the world would say. I counseled a woman years ago. I'll never forget it. Her father had died, and she was very distraught. I put my arms around her, and she said, why did God do this? I tried to console her. She said, I hate God. I said, now, sister, that's one thing you can't do. You can't blame God. And I said, and please don't hate God. Now, I'm going to tell you a great secret the world doesn't understand. When bad things happen to you, give thanks to God. You say, well, how can I do that? I just lost my job. I've just lost a loved one. I've had a disappointment. I've had a child arrested for some crime. I've got a terrible disappointment in my life, and you're saying I ought to thank God for it? That's right. That's right. Thank God anyway. I love there in the book of Job, everything bad happened to Job. His friend said, why don't you just curse God? Look at all the bad things that have happened to you. You know what Job's response was? He said, though he, that is God, though he slay me, yet will I love him. Though he slay me, yet will I love him. You know, Psalms 126, verse 5 is very powerful. I've read it quite often. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You've lost a loved one? Well, I tell you what, right now you're sowing in tears. But someday you're going to see that loved one in heaven and you're going to reap in joy. Think about that. Oh, my. My. Well, give thanks to God. You don't give thanks to God even when He chastens you. When bad things happen, it's not always the case. And some people tell me, Brother Tex, I've confessed every sin in my life. I don't know what I've done to deserve this. Remember some years ago, a man came to me. He had lost his job, and he'd done everything to get another job. And I knew he had really tried to get another job, and he couldn't. And he said, Tex, would you tell me if you know of any sin in my life? He said, my wife and I have confessed all of our sins. It had to be because we had some hidden sin in our life that this has happened to us. And I said, brother, it could have been, but not necessarily. You know, God causes the rain to fall on the good and the bad, and He causes the sun to shine on the good and the bad.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us next week as he continues this series, A Fragile Bird He Will Not Crush. And until then, may God truly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.